Welcome to episode 244 of the GunnaGeek.com show. In this week's episode, we'll talk about changes to Star Wars, changes to Google, and changes to the S Pen. Plus, I'll give a review of my latest smart device. And before that, I'll confuse China for Russia, and Chris talks about 8-bit addle images. This and more in this week's show.
Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is the official GunnaGeek.com show. Here, we're a bunch of geeks talking about geeky things. Each week, we run down the latest news and happenings in the world of geek. These are your hosts for the show, Steven.
But what if I'm in the mood for a T-Swift story?
Chris.
I've heard the X is going to give it to you.
And SP.
That's how we roll on Gunna Geek on Monday night. We get crazy!
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I am Stephen Jondrew, and with me, of course, is Chris Farrell.
Stephen, have you had a chance to review my 5-point plan on how to podcast?
I have indeed, and the answers of step 1 through 5 are don't do it. We also have okay. Stargate Pioneer.
Are you sure you remembered to put a new battery in your new glowing mic flag?
No, I haven't yet. This is, you know, I got to replace it once every 5 minutes, that's all. So
that's why he goes off cam.
Yes, now we're here with another episode of the GunnaGeeks.com show, and if you've not checked us out before, we are about the latest and greatest happenings in the world of geek. We're also happy to say we're part of the Gunna Geek Network, and the Gunna Geek Network has a bunch of amazing, amazing geeky podcasts, so please check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and including the latest edition of its addition. It's not an addition, it's an addition. We're adding a new podcast called All Things Good and Nerdy. They just started off. They're fresh. They're clean. And you should check them out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. You can check out Chris Farrell, Willie Nelson, who loves Clueless, as well as Anthony and Naki, the talent of the show, is away for a couple of months. But definitely check that out at All Things Good and Nerdy.
So by adding All Things Good and Nerdy to the network, is that some of that new math that's being taught in school these days?
This is addition by subtraction.
Oh, but seriously, you should definitely check this out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And if you want to have a little Sunday fun, hop by the live chat room at what time, Chris Farrell?
11 a.m. Eastern at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially because you can easily goad Willie into all sorts of random stuff, like how he's now the Clueless movie master.
You know, I'm really upset he didn't actually go and live tweet Clueless after this like he said he would. I'm going to have words with him this week.
Tell him that there's going to be like a no Willie clause on the Gunna Geek Network if he doesn't go and do it. So,
well, he'll just change his name again.
Well, he better do it. We want to have the Clueless live tweet. And everybody wants to live tweet along with him. So definitely hashtag Clueless Willie on Twitter. But let's go ahead and talk about the news. Here we go. All right. This news point that we're starting off with today is one that was hotly talked about over the last week. It was first rumored last Wednesday evening, and then there is a little bit of confusion surrounding it, and then an official, unofficial statement from Lucasfilm. What exactly is this, Chris?
It seems accurate the way you sum that up, but if you're not familiar, Solo, a Star Wars story came out just a few weeks ago here in the United States, and I believe it was worldwide release roughly the same time. It has not lived up to expectations, I think it's fair to say. I think right now it's estimated to have brought in about $350 million total, which for most movies is a big deal. For Star Wars, has a lot of people going, well, this should have been a lot more, especially when the budget for this movie after reshoots and production was probably about what it's made domestically. So there were a lot of rumors that came out that said, oh, Lucasfilm is super disappointed. They're going to can all of the Star Wars spinoff movies. Because if you weren't aware, they were doing a series movie like Episode 8, Episode 9. And then they would take a year and they would do one of these anthology movies. Well, the rumor came out these anthology movies were all going to be put on hold until Lucasfilm kind of came out and said that report is a bit premature. They're just rethinking their plans for future Star Wars spinoff movies. The Hollywood Reporter has the word. It says they're not necessarily not going to happen. It just means they're trying to figure out how to market them and make them different. And that's probably what they need to do. There was a bit of a disconnect when it came to the marketing of Solo, A Star Wars Story. I greatly enjoyed it. I thought it was more fun than Rogue One personally, but it did not speak well to a large group of people to come in. So the question now is, what is going to be the fate of these? We do know there were two movies coming up for spinoffs. There was going to be a Boba Fett Solo movie directed by James Mangold, who you might remember as the director of Logan. Very good movie. I think a Solo movie, not as in the character, but as in a Solo character movie with the director of Logan, could be very good. However, we're not quite sure what's going to happen. Lucasfilm seems to have concerns that if a movie about an iconic character like Han Solo didn't rake in the cash, we're not really sure that a Boba Fett-centric movie is going to be a huge cash cow or not. So they haven't quite decided what they're going to do with Boba Fett. It's tentatively on, according to all the rumors right now. Who knows? They have a bit of time to decide right now because James Mangold is currently directing a period racing drama called Ford versus Ferrari, starring Matt Damon and Christian Bale. So they have time to figure out what they want to do with the Boba Fett movie. You want my opinion? It's probably going to get canned and they'll find something different for James Mangold to do. He's a great talent. I would love to see him direct something dark in the Star Wars universe. I'm just not sure that Boba Fett's going to be the right answer. There's another rumor that was going around. This one keeps gaining steam, that Ewan McGregor was going to return as Obi-Wan Kenobi to do an Obi-Wan spinoff movie that takes place between episode 3 and episode 4. Supposedly he's been in training. If you saw the photos from the premiere of Solo, A Star Wars Story, Ewan McGregor was a guest there. He had the Obi-Wan beard and facial beard and hair going again, which just had these rumors coming back. Supposedly Stephen Daldry, who did The Hours and The Reader, was going to direct. But right now, with these concerns over spinoff movies, they're not going to happen. And really, this is the one that has me the most bummed. A Boba Fett movie is kind of interesting to me, but I would love to see Ewan McGregor come back as Obi-Wan Kenobi, because I loved him in the role. He did a good job of channeling Ali Guinness, but also making the role his own. And there's a ton of meat on that bone for a story that could be told with Obi-Wan. We got little bits and pieces of it during Clone Wars and during Star Wars Rebels, but there's a ton more story that could be told. But really, I think the problem here that Lucasfilm is seeing is they did too much Star Wars too fast. Why Episode 7 and Episode 8 were huge is because they're the next big movies in the series. 7 was huge because nobody ever expected to get it. Rogue One was huge because it was the first of the anthology movies. And then everyone went, wait a second, I don't know that I actually care about some of these spinoff movies. They're not must-see like an Episode 7, 8, or 9. They're, oh, that could be interesting. I'll go see it. I think that's part of Solo's problem is there's a lot of people who went, I don't know if I really care about that. It's not about Luke. It's not about Rey. It's not about Finn, any of those folks. I don't care. So I think Lucasfilm needs to take some time to regroup, and they need to update their release schedule, because I think part of what really hurt Solo, A Star Wars Story, is Last Jedi came out in December.
Yes.
Solo came out in May. We didn't even get 6 full months between Star Wars movies. If you're Marvel, you can get away with it.
I agree totally. And that was what I was going to say on this, was that they made the mistake of putting a Solo movie not right dab straight in the middle of the usual movies, right? Like, that's what they absolutely should have done. I think that they made a huge mistake with that. As well, the other thing that I think that they should do is just do the Obi-Wan movie, because that's going to give you your pulse, right? Like, do that, space it out properly, do that. If it bombs, you know you got to go back to the drawing board for any spinoffs, because if you can't make money on that one, you're pooched.
There's another rumor going around that the Obi-Wan movie might come direct to their streaming service. I don't believe that one, but it's making the rounds right now, so I wanted to float that out there as a possibility, just not necessarily one I believe in.
Since Star Wars came back, they've suffered a lot of different maladies, one of which has been not as tight of a story. Now, these are stories that don't appeal to all age groups. And when you take a look at Rogue One, you're talking about a movie that ends and you don't care about everybody because they're all dead.
Spoiler alert.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Jeez.
Steven hasn't seen it yet. It's only been out for 4 years. He still hasn't seen it.
I'm trying to prevent him from the anguish of actually seeing the movie and not caring about it. And then there are the deep concerns in the entire Star Wars fandom about The Last Jedi. And then coupled with that is you have Carrie Fisher, who has passed on screen. You have Mark Hamill and Han Solo, who have passed away, like on screen, their characters, Luke and Han. So a lot of people are like, why should I really care about anything going forward? You haven't given me anything to care about. And then the story of Solo, a Star Wars story, it wasn't the tightest story out there. Look, people want great movies and they're not, it's so close, but it's not there. And I think that's part of the problem here too. And this issue was brought up simply by Kathleen Kennedy firing the directors of Solo, a Star Wars story, and then bringing on some A-list star in Ron Howard to try to bring it all together. But there's only so much you can do when the movie's in production. It starts in the writing room, and you need to have a good story in the writing room.
I'll say something blasphemous in many people's eyes. Solo, a Star Wars story, is a better movie than Rogue One. It's a better movie. It's more entertaining. I like the characters more. It's the Fast and the Furious in space. It's exactly what it's meant to be, a popcorn movie where crazy stuff happens.
And it makes sense because really when you think about Rogue One, and I have actually seen Rogue One, but when you think about that, the goal was to tell one specific tiny element, really, of Star Wars, right? Like there was a very specific start and a very specific end point to that. So like it's just this little fraction as opposed to something like Solo, which could basically be any modern Star Wars story because it's about a character way in the past, right? So, like, absolutely, I can see why that would be a better story. There's more flexibility there. I haven't seen it yet, and I probably won't because I'm just here to I'm here to boycott all Star Wars spinoff movies.
There's people that are doing that.
I'm not boycotting them. I'll watch it. I'm too cheap. I'm cheap. Next up in the news, let's talk about Google. Google has been busy. They've made changes to several of their different apps. So let's just take a quick moment to review several of these changes. First off, number one is going to be the personal overview page. If you've ever used the Google Assistant before, you've probably seen the homepage that sort of opens. Well, there is now a new look, and it's an overview that's going to give you a list of things like your name, your location, reminders, events, as well opportunities to track things like reservations, stock tickers, and purchases. So this is something that Google's been trying to really enhance that assistant side of thing, which is not surprising at all, given the fact that Google Homes, this is such a vital part of those systems. So you've got that coming on the actual smartphones. You've also got something called Dataly, which is basically Google's Android app for monitoring and controlling data usage. It's going to add a little bit of enhancement to the way that you can manage data, including doing things like setting a limit per day, all sorts of parental things that you can think about. And it's going to also include a Wi-Fi map that lets you find open networks. So really enhance that data use, that data monitoring of the Android system. You also are going to, on the Google Home side of things, be able to, this sounds really, really familiar, but continue on conversations with your smart speaker instead of having to say those two magical words, one that begins with okay, the second one that begins with Google. You're going to be able to just continue talking to it. The joke here is that this was just rolled into the Amazon Echoes a couple of months ago. So obviously the continued conversations is going to be coming to Google here. That's a nice change to see because I have to say, I'm very annoyed. I still don't have that feature up in Canada on my Amazon Echo. And it's very annoying when you have a series of things that you want to do. You also are going to see improved transparency over the information in your Google account. Basically, this is their, hey, look, we're trying to improve privacy moment, and just making it so that there's a new dashboard sort of thing and a new way that people can track this data that Google is tracking. As well, one of the most exciting moments is the ability to do web messaging with the Google Messaging app. Now, for those of you who have iMessage, you've probably seen before, you've been able to go on to your computer and send different messages and whatnot. It's not been on Android without a third-party app. There's been several different third-party apps that have done this, and it's not been built in stock. Well, yes, the Google Messages app has just started rolling this out. Chris and I, believe it or not, we're Pixel users. We didn't get the update right away. My brother, who has an Essential phone and is like a relatively new Android convert, he's had it for a couple of days. So us Pixel buddies.
I have a phone and so do you. Look at that, it's a Pixel 2. That makes us Pixel buddies for life.
Some of the music heard was by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.
So us Pixel buddies were neglected, but apparently it works really well. The reviews are very, very favorable with it. I'm really looking forward to this. Unfortunately, I've converted so much because of that desktop use. I've used Google Chats or Google whatever Hangouts now. I use the Viber. I use a bunch of different stuff, but you know, whatever. Now I can actually send a text message, so that's pretty exciting. You got to go in and enable that and scan a little QR code, but definitely a feature. And then Chris's favorite update comes to Google Maps, where now at this time you can go and within Google Maps capture dinosaurs. Did you hear about this,
yes.
Chris?
No, I have no clue. I want to catch dinosaurs, though, so tell me all about this.
Basically, it's like, what's that mode where you hold up your camera and you see the VR thing?
Pokemon Go. Oh, you mean AR.
AR. It's like that, but on Google Maps. So, yeah, it's a hybrid. That's what it is. It's described as Pokemon as a Pokemon Go variant. Really, it's just a gimmick. But also, aside from that, all really useful Google update features. So lots coming out of the world of Google. And I will say that for sure, my most exciting one is the messages update. And I'm looking forward to trying that. We just got that enabled, Chris and I, today. Neither of us had a chance to try it.
Well, I turned it on right before the podcast started. I might have been trading a couple text messages here or there. It seems to work fairly well from what I can tell. Basically, it uses your phone's data connection to replicate your messages in a web browser. So if you get a message on your phone, then it will shortly thereafter sync up with what is on the messages app. So there's a couple seconds delay, it seemed like, but I'm on Wi-Fi. If you're on mobile data, there might be a few more seconds delay between it. But yeah, I exchanged messages back and forth with a couple people as we were starting the show before I stopped texting folks, and it seemed to work fine. The pairing process took seconds, literally. I held the phone up to capture the QR code. It was less than a second. It logged in.
I used to use one called MySMS. It was really good, worked really well. And I'm looking forward to just having this built in. So
they did figure out on Reddit, you could also take this tab and basically make it a button on your Windows start bar so that you can always have a persistent app of Android messages running on Windows 10.
Oh, fantastic. That's cool. Yes. Very neat.
That means you're always going to have a browser instance running, but who cares in today's world where everyone's got 64 gigs of RAM and processors that can do anything. Yes, that's an over-exaggeration.
SP, any of these new features, especially the dinosaur one, going to bring you over to Android?
Well, you know, if I could capture spaceships instead of dinosaurs, that'd be kind of cool. But dinosaurs are all right. And no, neither are going to be bringing me over to Android anytime soon. Still kind of integrated into the iOS architecture with the family, especially when I get to keep track of them.
That's not creepy at all.
Not at all.
No. Not at all.
Dude, they're my kids. I get to keep track of them.
Next up in the news, we're going to talk about how people who do keep track of us, the Chinese government, they're going to be sending another piece of space junk my direction, aren't they?
That's right. China appears to be prepping for deorbiting its second space station, the Tiangong 2 Space Lab. This is by an article in space.com by Andrew Jones, published on June 21st. So China had lowered the orbit of its space lab, likely in preparation for deorbiting the orbital facility, and thus averting a similar scenario to the uncontrolled re-entry of Tiangong 1 earlier this year. And I might add, they missed Stephen, so this might be a deliberate attempt to hit Stephen.
I believe it.
Yeah. I think so. This tracks. I would want to hit him too.
Now, the space station Tiangong 2 was launched in September 2016 to test advanced life support and refueling and resupply capabilities via the crewed Shenzhou 11 and uncrewed Tianzhu 1 cargo missions in preparation for constructing a large modular space station in low Earth orbit. Let me say that again. In preparation for constructing a large modular space station in low Earth orbit. We'll get to that in a second. Now, in the meantime, orbital information published by the U.S. Strategic Command's Joint Force Space Component Command through the Joint Space Operations Center indicates that Tiangong 2 has moved from an altitude of around 380 kilometers down to about 295 kilometers. So yeah, it's coming down. So no announcement regarding the status of the space lab has been made by the China Manned Space Engineering Office, which manages China's human spaceflight and space station related missions. Now, China is aiming to launch the first module of the space station proper, named Tianhe, around 2020. This will be a 60 to 100 metric ton Chinese space station, and it is expected to complete it with the addition of two experimental modules around 2022, and will be capable of hosting three astronauts for long durations and up to six during crew turnover. It will be joined by, this is bonus news, it will be joined by a co-orbiting Hubble-class space telescope that can dock for propellant supply maintenance and repairs. So not only are they deorbiting a space station that was going to hit Stephen's house, but they are going to launch another bigger space station, maybe not as big as the ISS, but bigger than what they have been, and another Hubble Space Telescope class telescope, and they're going to dock all this stuff together. Guys, the Chinese have it going on.
Wow. Why are they not sending it down on your house?
Because they don't care about me. They just care about you. They missed you.
His house is on the moon.
See, as the director of the now defunct SNASA.
When did it become defunct?
Well, because defunct. The whole Space Force thing, I figured that's just going to push aside SNASA, right? Because that's basically what it is. But it's just now on the record. So, yeah.
Maybe SNASA is Space Force.
Oh, wow. That's a crazy turn of events. But no, seriously, I don't like the secrecy with the space stuff all the time out of the Chinese space stuff. It is like you talked about probes or satellites before, and it's like years later, and we still don't know the for sure information about some of these things that came out of China. I don't like that. I don't like having stuff up there that could fall on my house that we don't have official record of.
Well, so far, we've only been talking about stuff launched by the Soviet Union in SP Space Symposium. We haven't talked about the Chinese yet.
Okay, I forgot. Sorry, I mixed up all that non-American stuff. My bad. Yeah, I see. America first. Yeah.
Woo! You know, if you want to go ahead and mix up the Chinese and the Russians or the Soviets, you know, that's fine. You can deal with the consequences on that. Send your hate mail to Steven@GunnaGeek.com.
Da, comrade.
Because you guys have just made me such American patriots. That's what it is. Woo! Next up in the news, we're going to talk about some really weird stuff coming out of the... Well, Chris, what is this?
Hey, guys, you can get porn in Super Mario Odyssey, evidently.
Exactly. Like, what is this? What is this?
This is not on purpose. There is a report that Polygon has... It states that hackers have found a way to get pornography to start appearing in the game. Yes, they are hacking the profile avatar system in the Switch, uploading adult images. How does this happen? Well, it's because there's mini games offered within Mario Odyssey that show what other players scored and their game avatar with it. So these people are using some kind of exploit to change these images. What has Nintendo said right now? Well, they've advised that while they look into a way to fix the problem, any young children should only play the game offline. By doing this, they should not be able to view any of the online scores submitted, and as such, avoid the potential porn avatar images associated with them. The minigame that's impacted is specifically the Luigi's Balloon World that was added earlier this year. There is no fix right now, so if you're a parent and you don't want your kids to potentially be seeing porn while they play Mario, make sure you put that Switch in airplane mode.
Are clothes really necessary? I mean, we're all naked underneath. We're born naked. Clothes are a thing that has evolved with society because, I don't know, like some fashion designer wanted to sell something. I have no idea.
Look, it's moments like this that the reformed internet troll in me kind of just chuckles and goes, okay, this is kind of funny. I understand the problem there is with it. But at the same time, I could see myself if I pulled up minigame and seen porn, be like, what the hell? And just start laughing. But I'm also a 32-year-old, 33-year-old. I don't know how old I am. Adult male, not an 8-year-old child playing Mario.
Ah, okay. Well, let me ask you this, Chris Farrell. You're supposed to respond.
Yes, Steven. What are you asking me?
When is this going to come to the Gunna Geek Network? When are you going to hack the GunnaGeek.com site to
be able to have this feature? I'm sure you've already hacked my avatar already, and it's probably something terrible, like an 8-bit animated GIF of a male anatomical structure.
Well, now you're just reminding me of Duke Nukem. Like, come on. 8-bit
GIFs. Hail
to
the king, baby.
And finally, in the extra news section here, the rumor is that Samsung's Note 9, not the one that catches fire, not that one, but the Note 9 is going to be getting a big update with the S Pen. That's right. For those of you who love the S Pen, you might be happy to know that apparently there's going to be a update coming your way with the S9. There's not a lot of information on this, but the leaker Ice Universe, who has been known for very credible leaks with Samsung products, is saying that this is going to be the biggest update in the history of the S Pen. Now, the S Pen is something that, for me personally, I don't get the appeal of, but a lot of people who use the Notes love it. They live by it. They say it's one of the best features of the Note. For me, not the biggest thing in the world, but I think it's cool. Yeah, it's been basically the same for generations now on the Note. So I think that's kind of cool to see an update. Chris, you thought about getting a Note once, right?
Yeah, but the S Pen's never really appealed to me. I have a pen on my Surface Book. I use it occasionally, but for most of these things with touchscreens, the pen doesn't really do much for me. And on a phablet, I just don't see myself using it very much. Now,
yeah,
there could be others that would use it a lot, and I'm glad they have a use case for it. But honestly, I would just get the S9 Plus equivalent because it's all the exact same hardware. It's just the difference is you get a pen.
You could just go to the dollar store and buy a pen.
Ooh, will it have like a hula girl on it?
No, I'm about getting a Sharpie using that on your phone.
You want me to use a Sharpie?
I do.
Gold Sharpie.
Yeah.
Gold Sharpie.
Gold Sharpie.
What about silver? Gold's a bit too ostentatious for me. I prefer silver.
Sure, go ahead with silver. Silver works okay for me. It's good by
me. So, Steven, you're going to get me this Note out of my Gunna Geek paycheck, right? And then I will take the Sharpie to it.
Correct? No, definitely not going to happen.
I'm going to have to buy the damn Sharpie. You've got to at least buy the phone.
If there was a Gunna Geek paycheck, and that's very, very large. If there was, I would be sure to dock something from it.
A very large paycheck?
Very large if.
I thought it was a very large paycheck.
If there was, it would be a very large paycheck because I'm generous. But it doesn't exist, so there you go. So
give me my money.
But that's going to go ahead and wrap up the news. We're going to talk in a moment here about gardening with me. But before we get there, I wanted to ask a question to Stargate Pioneer. Stargate Pioneer, last week you were on the road, right?
Yep, I was literally on the road. I was laying on the road just praying that the traffic jam would part in front of me.
Now, fun fact, although we didn't record the GunnaGeek.com show last week, we did record an episode of Better Podcasting. And I wanted to ask you, what did you travel with that was a visual piece of equipment that you brought and displayed for Better Podcasting?
My shirt?
Behind your shirt.
Behind my shirt? My undershirt?
His undershirt?
Okay, he had this big Gunna Geek banner that he literally traveled for work purposes behind him. And he recorded Better Podcasting with this setup in his hotel room. It was absolutely amazing. Couldn't believe he did it. But I didn't get a chance to actually ask you on Better Podcasting about how much room did you have left in that hotel room? You seemed so stuffed in there with this this big banner behind you. It was insane.
It was a large studio suite hotel room. I had a lot of space. I mean, it might have been backed up to the bed pretty closely, but there was a lot of other space. I mean, I could have angled the desk a little bit differently and it would have worked out just fine.
Well, it was very impressive, but you definitely need to get that banner updated. So if anybody wants to solicit SP to get that banner updated, you should definitely send him an email.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, Stephen, we've been talking to you about updating the banner for a couple of years now. I believe I even did a video on the rest area on the side of freeway saying that you needed to update the banner, and it hasn't been updated since.
It's true.
So it's not my fault. I have asked you.
Exactly. Which takes me to my point in this entire mess, which is if you have yourself a podcast and it's a geeky podcast and you want to join the network, please head on over to gunnageek.com/join. You can apply there. We're always looking for new members to join the network. We do have a review process, so we don't accept everybody. But if you do have a podcast and you'd like to join the network, please go to gunnageek.com/join and fill out the application. We're always looking for more geeky podcast, so then we can have another out-of-date banner behind Stargate Pioneer.
Or more out-of-date banner.
Exactly. All right, now let's garden. Here we go. Not often on the GunnaGeek.com show we get to talk about yard work, but today is going to be one of those days, and it's actually really exciting for me. So for those of you who aren't familiar with me, I like home automation type gadgets. I have this sort of stuff. And last year, my irrigation system sprinkler timer started to not work. It was funny. I went and I was like, you know what? It's a rainy day. Let me go and shut that off because it's supposed to be rainy for a week. So I turned it off. And then the next day I looked outside and my irrigation system was running and went downstairs and it set off. So I'm like, okay, clearly this is broken. And there were some other problems that I had as well. So I knew that my irrigation timer needed to get replaced. Of course, I thought to myself, well, maybe there's something that is smart. And thus I ended up locating what is called the Orbit Beehive Smart Wi-Fi Sprinkler Timer. So I actually ended up getting this as a gift for Christmas, believe it or not. So it was in the box for a while because I couldn't end up trying it in the middle of the winter, but it had some features that seemed pretty appealing to me. And I thought, why not get this smart feature added to my smart timer? Now, from a dumb perspective, I will tell you that those of you who are looking for smart timer or for an irrigation timer, it will do three different programs. So that's going to allow you to have a little bit of flexibility if you want certain things to run at different times than others. The setup was overall easy. Following the guideline was really easy to get install. And I will say that from a durability perspective, it felt a lot more durable, a lot stronger than my existing Rainbird contractor grade timer. It was a matter of just moving over some wires and getting it set up. I'm not an electrician by any means, but it was a really simple process, just like typical low voltage type wires. Now, I wanted to initially, even though it's a smart timer, I wanted to initially see what the dumb experience was. So during the setup, I went and I thought, okay, let's not do this through the smart route. If you can imagine, there's an app for the smart timer. So I thought, let's do it through the dumb route. And it was a disaster. I do not recommend it at all. I went and I tried to put it on. It has this weird little dial wheel. And when I got through, I was so confused. The menu that was on the display was so chaotic. It made no sense. There was no rhyme or reason. So I quickly factory reset that irrigation timer and started to run through doing it smart. And it was a lot easier. The app was easy to follow. It was a step-by-step guideline on the app. It was like, enter your Wi-Fi password. Then you got through that, and it asks you some information about the timer of getting it set
that
up.
That password
and email.
Is Chris is great, right?
Yeah, app password is absolutely Chris is great.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I want to make sure.
So it was a really simple walkthrough on the app, a completely different experience than trying to do it without the app. It was a really easy guide. Now, there's actually a smart watering system set up in this, and what I mean by that is that the system itself has the ability to look at weather, basically look at what it's watering, and sort of guesstimate how much water penetration is going to be happening. So you would go in and on each zone, you would say it's this type of lawn or it's flowers or whatever it is. And then it's going to try to water to meet the current demands. This sounded really cool because I thought, well, why not do that? I live in an area that one day it can be 30 degrees Celsius and the next day it can be pouring rain, super cold. I went to set it up. And for those of you who live in an area that has water restrictions, you will know my pain. I live in an area that has water restrictions, so I'm only allowed to water certain times of the week and at certain times of the day. Well, here's the thing is I couldn't actually use the smart watering feature because the smart watering feature allowed you to set a certain restriction time, basically one blanket period. And where I am, the way that the water restrictions work, you can water twice a day, 2 days a week. And sometimes you have to have that happen because of the fact that it's so hot. You need to water in the morning and then water at night. And so it just didn't work with my water restriction pattern. So I couldn't really try this smart feature, which is really too bad. Now, on the flip side, one thing that did work with the smart side of things was the fact that I could set a rain delay. So if all of a sudden it's raining, I can go into the app and I can say, hey, it's raining. Don't water or don't run the programs for 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever it is. So it's a nice feature. So a little more manual control, but it's a lot easier than having to go down to the garage, go turn the thing off and remember to turn it back on after. So that does work from a smart perspective with what I want to do, which is be able to accommodate those sort of weird situations.
Oh my gosh, your garage is so far away for you to have to walk over.
This is
to
true.
Might take hours for you to get there. Cause in the middle, isn't there such a thing known as a Canadian beer raider?
Yes, absolutely. That's very okay. True. But let's be honest, the hard part is me turning it back on, right? You know, that's asking a lot of me.
It is.
Yeah. So some pros to this smart timer that I have was, number one, the physical design. I will say this, that many timers, if you've ever looked at this in the irrigation system world, a lot of them, you've got to unscrew pieces if you need to get into the wiring or get into that backup battery or whatever it is. This was durable, and because it was built durably, it's actually like a double hinge sort of thing. So you open up the lockable front door and you see your main panel if you need to do anything manually, and then that actual panel swings open as well and thus revealing all of the electronics. So a really good design, compact, and you don't need to get the screwdriver out or worry about taking off an extra panel or anything if you have to make any changes. As for the smart water function, I will say that what's nice about that, even though I didn't get to use it, is you can set that on a per zone basis. So if you're like, I want to go ahead and smart water my lawn, but my garden's kind of half covered, I want to make sure that that's running every single day, you can go ahead and do that. So you can have the smart watering just set per zone. Now, one small but notable feature is that you can actually, within the app itself, take a photo of the zone. So sometimes people have these set up in a really weird place. So they might have like half of their front yard on one zone and then the other half on another. And it could kind of be a little confusing to have it named front half, back half. So you can just go ahead and attach a little bit of a photo so that as you are going through and programming it, you just have a visual sense, which makes it a lot easier to get into the different areas, just seeing the quick photo and going in. Another side of the device that worked really good was with the manual watering, the interface works super well. So if you want to go and manually run a zone or run a section of your lawn, all you do is you go into the zones area, you push a button, and this little wheel pops up that you could just quickly drag your finger and go 10 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever it is, and hit go. And once you do that, what's nice is it starts counting down so that you can kind of see how much is left on there. If you want to stop, you just hit the stop button and it's very, very quick to stop. Notifications, I think they got it pretty much right. There's limited notification options, but they do work for what you want, which is, for example, telling you automatically or telling you once something has run, which as somebody who has occasionally woken up and gone, oh, that shouldn't have run today. My bad. Let me go ahead and stop that part way. Once that pops up, it works super well. Or as well, just knowing in a really hot day that, yeah, it did run while I was in bed. and just knowing that my system is still working. And here's one of the cool features that unfortunately I have not had a chance to try. There is an Amazon Echo skill available. Ooh. Now, the reason why I didn't try this was, well, quite honestly, I don't want my kids to run my irrigation system. And they know how to use Amazon Echo very, very well. But there is a skill available so that if you need to do that rain delay, don't even pull up the app. Just sit, tell it to do a rain delay. It's got pretty good reviews overall from what I saw, but definitely something that some people who do have an Amazon Echo might want to use. And the final pro that I'll talk about is that there is the ability to actually program the timer itself to go on and off. So you know how when summer comes and goes, generally you shut off your irrigation system? Well, you can actually go in and tell that to shut it off as of a certain date and come back on at a certain date. So it's kind of good that they've got that overall on and off feature in their programmable. Now, some of the cons with the smart timer, well, number one, the smart watering itself. Like, I'm going to highlight that right now. It needs more flexibility. It needs to be able to accommodate that there are different types of water restrictions in different regions. I think that it's a big oversight on their part, and it's very frustrating that it doesn't work for me. I'd really like to be able to use that. Another con is, well, the app doesn't always show the timing right when you are watering either automatically or you run for 10 minutes. I've had it before where once it actually finishes, it takes between 30 and 90 seconds to actually stop. When I go and I manually hit stop, it stops right away, no problem at all. But when it does finish running, it does seem to run a little bit longer. Now, I have a theory that that might be because sometimes with bigger irrigation systems, the last one stops way before the rest. And so maybe it's just to sort of accommodate the offset of the start function where it takes a while for certain sprinkler heads to get stuff. But it should, in my opinion, it should just stop right away. It's really annoying that it'll tell me, hey, you got 30 seconds till you can go walk on your lawn because it'll be done. And then I go out there and I'm sitting there waiting for another minute. So that's really, really kind of weird to me that they won't end up or that it doesn't time properly there. But hey, you know, I guess time is a mysterious thing, as Stargate Pioneer has told us many, many times.
Timey-wimey, I learned that from Haley.
Wibbly-wobbly, too.
And the final con that I have on this is that there's no if this, then that integration. I absolutely would have thought there would have been IFT integration on here. At least there wasn't last time I checked. So very frustrating that you can't do that, because it seems like the perfect opportunity for me to go in and say, hey, talk to the weather app. If the weather's raining, shut off my system. When it stops raining, turn it back on. And they can have so much fun with that, especially when Chris, like I somehow hooked it into Chris. So Chris opens his door, my sprinkler runs. That would be super cool.
I think this is a great idea. Let's make this happen. If they have an API out there, let's see if we can integrate that with IFT so that when I open my garage door, it rains in your yard.
Absolutely. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, I love it.
Overall, though, I got to say that I think it's been a fantastic upgrade. I'm really glad I have it. From a practical perspective, there's been many times that I found that app control to be really, really useful. For example, at the start of the year, anybody who has an irrigation system knows you got to go around and fine tune the sprinkler heads over the winter. Generally, they've been a little bit of problems and shifts with the adjustment screws. So you got to go around and do that at the beginning of the year rather than having to go check it, adjust, go back to my garage or go back to the control box. It was just a matter of pulling out my phone and hitting go. As well, occasionally, there's been times that I've looked out and I've gone, oh, wow, that did run, but it's really hot and it looks like that's not going to take the watering. I can go run it another time. Or, you know, another example this past weekend, I thought that I nicked a line by doing a bit of yard work, and I didn't. I found out that I didn't, but I was able to just stand in front of it, hit go, and see it run rather than have to go to the garage, hit go, come back, see the geyser, and then run back to my garage to shut it off. So it was a really practical way to use that. And just overall, the notification system is nice because it just keeps me in the loop of when it's running. And sometimes I can just look and go, yeah, you know what? It's not been raining today, but I think that I could go without. So I could just go ahead and put on that rain delay. And I've done that a couple of times. Save some water, right? Why not? So I'm really happy with it. And from a smart perspective, it's just another smart device on the phone at my fingertips that I can use. And when someone comes over, just make them jealous. I was actually, fun fact, on a work trip a couple of weeks ago, and I was way away, and I said, hey, look what I can do. And then they all got satisfaction knowing that allegedly my system was running, that they were able to control it from far away. I could have just made a fake app and to satisfy them just as much, but everybody thought that was really cool. Stargate Pioneer.
Yep.
You have yourself an irrigation system, don't you?
No, I actually don't. Oh. Not here at the house, although at the lake there is now an irrigation system.
So. Oh. Chris, do you have one?
I do not. I live in a townhouse, so my yard is tiny.
Well then, neither of you will find this useful. But for those of you who have an irrigation system, if you have any questions about this, let me know. I was a little unsure myself when I first found it, because the information on there, I'll be honest, it looked like a lot of old people trying to work it. That was the sense that I got from the reviews. And I have to say, my experience differed from the reviews that I saw. So if you're thinking about changing your timer, if you have a question, let me know. Again, it was a gift that I got for Christmas from somebody, and I'm very, very happy with it. And hopefully, if you are thinking about this, this will make your life a little more geeky. Plus, you hopefully don't have kids around, and you can actually use that Echo skill, because that would be so cool. But there you go. That's going to take us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll go around the table and plug and promote and do whatever we'd like to do. Let's start with the now defunct NASA director, Stargate Pioneer. What do you got?
I have a great podcast called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We recently published an episode on the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which the episode was titled The End. The show didn't actually end, although it probably should have with an episode titled The End. Anyway, that's episode number 246 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Go listen to it, and you hear all about us talking about the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Chris, do you have anything that you would like to plug or promote?
I do. So, Steven, we had the week off last week, as you're well aware. I felt I still had to podcast, so I got an offer I could not refuse. I was on the Digital Soup podcast last week talking about E3, all sorts of different games, what my top five were coming out of E3, predictions for what's coming next year. So if you want to hear about some game talk, head on over and check out the latest episode of the Digital Soup podcast, guest hosting, one Chris Farrell.
It was a good episode. It was a lot of fun, and it was good to hear you on there. Except, you know, I'll say you sound better over here. I'll just say that. And I'm not talking about audio quality. I'm just saying that you're more suited over here. I don't want you to leave, Chris.
Are you trying to start a show war?
I don't want you to leave. I'm very self-conscious, and I'm afraid you're going to leave me.
Where am I going to go?
To Digital Soup.
I mean, if Suncast brings back Tech News Weekly, I'm gone. But other than that, I'm here.
Hashtag Tech News Weekly.
Hashtag TechNewsWeeklyShow.com.
And I'm just going to end by saying I'm in the process right now of reworking the GunnaGeek.com site. I'm making good progress with it, because I finally found a theme that I think is going to allow me to do what I want to do with the Gunna Geek site. So if you have any suggestions of what you'd like to see on the Gunna Geek site, please send them my way. It's steven@gunnageek.com, or tweet me on twitter.com. So just tweet Gunna Geek, twitter.com/GunnaGeek. Let us know your suggestion, and I'll try my hardest to work it in. No promises, no guarantees, but I do want to make this a much more modern Gunna Geek site. And let me start by saying the number one requested feature is a GIF of Stargate Pioneer shirtless.
This is true. He's going to make his pecs dance.
We can accommodate that in the new site. But, Steven, you know the first rule about site redesigns.
It should start with StargatePioneer.com.
Okay, so what's the second rule about site designs?
What is it?
It is, you don't talk about them publicly until you have something to show.
No, because I'm like to listen. I like to listen to the fans rather than most of the arrogant webmasters out there, which is like, I know best. Yeah, I did that. I threw that down.
Well, you're going to tell them they're wrong, and you know best anyway.
That's true. That's very, very true. But for episode number 244 of the official GunnaGeek.com show, I'm Steven John Drew saying, I got a smart irrigation timer. Maybe I'll make it run right now.
I'm Chris Farrell saying, bring back Tech News Weekly.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer saying, Steven, you better go catch your running timer.
I see what you did there.
No.
Bye.
checking out another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or a thumbs up on YouTube. You can always join us for our live recording sessions, which stream Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. And remember, you can find our full back catalog at GunnaGeek.com/show. If you're itching for more geeky content, check out other shows on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Voice work was by Emily Prokop of the Story Behind podcast. That's it for this episode. We hope to see you back again next week.